Welcome to the Board of Regents meeting for June 8th, 2020, at 7:02 p.m. Due to the coronavirus and the need for social distancing, this meeting will be held remotely and available to the public in a live stream. To access this meeting, the instructions on the agenda.
It's hard to hear, Peggy.
There's an echo there. There's an echo.
Mayor, is someone else sitting in the room with the broadcast on?
Yes, she's got to either not use your phone or turn your volume down and use this one.
There you go.
You can still be on the picture.
Broadcast running side by side. That's the easy. You got to turn the volume down on one.
Yeah, otherwise we hear an echo.
Okay, how about now?
Is it better?
Is it better now?
Let's hear Peggy speak again.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Much better without an echo. Yeah.
Adequate notice of this meeting as required by Section 231, Scale 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 6, 2020, was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. I'll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Essikoff? I'm going to mark him absent. Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Vrowman? I'm going to mark him absent. Mayor Malkin?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Okay. I just want to say a few things before public comment on the agenda begins.
Getting that echo again.
Mayor, could we have the clerk mute her mic? There's two mics. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
And how is that?
You or the clerk has to mute your mic when you guys talk.
Is that better?
Peggy, can you speak again?
Can you hear me?
Much better.
Mm-hmm. I hear nothing. You know what? I'm just going to stay behind you. Okay. All right, so I'm going to stand behind Kathleen because something is wrong.
Are we still here?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can now, yeah.
Yes, that's much better. Yours and Kathleen's microphone were picking up what you were saying. That's what was happening.
She's redialing in.
I think both of the volumes of your phone were interacting with each other, is what I thought.
Joe, this happened at the planning board meeting the other night. There's something wrong with the volume on my phone.
You're echoing still, though.
How about now?
Okay.
You said better.
Better?
Nope, go get the echo.
Well, can Peggy speak again just so we can...
Is Kathleen... Kathleen, are you able to mute your microphone?
No.
You turn your volume down on your phone?
You're the host, so you can mute everybody if you want.
I can mute everybody, but I don't have a mute button for that. I can mute all.
Mute all. And then let Peggy unmute herself and she talks and everyone else can go.
Hello?
Now, Mayor, you unmute yourself, and you when you talk, you should we should be good.
Before we go on to the rest of the agenda. All right, I wanted to announce for anyone who doesn't know that Helen Barth has died. Helen Barth died the other day. Helen was the last of the original settlers. She came here at 3 years old in 1936. She was one of the first, to disembark from the bus and begin her life in Roosevelt. She's lived here her entire life, which was almost 88 years. She was one of the most beloved members of Roosevelt. She was on the first aid squad for many years, very actively involved. She was the Roosevelt Public School secretary for many years. Her husband, Leon, was mayor of Roosevelt. More terms than I don't even remember how many terms. He served as mayor for a long time. And Helen was just someone who was truly loved and respected in town. She lives in the same house as she did when she married Leon many, many years ago. And to say she'll be missed is an understatement. Roosevelt won't be the same without Helen. And I won't say anymore at this point, probably you will write an article for the Borough Bulletin, but I did want to make note to anyone who may not realize or just make a statement on behalf of the town that we're really sorry to lose Helen.
Who's that? Who is that?
Okay. Also, I wanted to mention, as far as the coronavirus, we do have 7 cases in Roosevelt now. An additional confirmed case has been added. So I still think for almost 1,000 people, that's a pretty good number. On the agenda tonight is the first reading of a tree ordinance. As everyone knows, we've been discussing this for a few years now. At the risk of repeating myself many times, I just want to reiterate that we're having a big issue in town with newer families moving in and clear-cutting their property, and also even some other families taking down large, old, majestic trees that are not in any danger of harming someone's house or car or person. And so I think it's important most people have moved to Roosevelt for the rural agrarian community that it is. Our trees are one of the defining characteristics of Roosevelt, not to mention that they house all the wildlife and nature, provide oxygen and beauty. And many people have been taking down trees at an alarming rate. So hopefully this tree ordinance will be a layer of protection for us so that we don't look like an urban area. And that's all for now. That's all. We can go on with the rest of the agenda, if I can find it. We come to public comment agenda items only. We'll open the public comment at 7:13. Does anyone have anything they'd like to say on the agenda items only?
Move to close.
I'm sorry, I think we may have been muted. Is there anyone who has anything from the public would like to say anything about the agenda
Carol
item?
Bachler is raising her hand, Mayor.
Okay. Carol, can you identify yourself for the recording?
Carol is muted, so either Carol has to unmute herself,
yeah,
or Kathleen has to.
Kathleen's trying to unmute her.
Oh, am I unmuted now?
Okay.
You're good now.
Okay, Carol, we see you and hear you now.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to identify myself again as Carol Watchler of 2 Elm Court, and I'm not certain whether the letter that I sent rather late this afternoon was made part of the agenda. I couldn't hear everything that that you said. I know it's not on the printed agenda. It had to do with contributions to the Roosevelt First Aid Squad. Is that appropriate at this point?
It's not on the agenda, so I think you have to wait until the second public comment on anything.
That's fine. I have two things I'm going to talk about at that point then.
Okay, sure. Is there anyone else who has anything they'd like to comment on the agenda items? No? Okay, being none, close 7:15, close the public portion of the agenda items. Now we come to approval of minutes, the regular meeting minutes from May 26, 2020.
I'd like to make a motion to approve those minutes.
I have a discussion. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. On the agenda, on the minutes, there's a tree ordinance. No, there's a portable storage is on the first reading, and it's 2007. And there's a 2007 on the first reading in June, that's an 07 also, 2007. You can't have two of them on the same number.
Lou, Kathleen informed me of that earlier, and so I've changed the tree to 2008.
Thank you, done. I'll move to accept.
Good catch, thank you.
Yeah, you're very sharp, Lou.
That's what happens when you have a lot of time on your hands. Mm-hmm. When you're retired.
Okay, so who is the second on the minutes?
I'll do it.
Okay, Lou.
What is that squeaking? I'm hearing a squeaking noise.
So am I.
Okay.
Mike's in the forest.
No, it just stopped. Go ahead.
Muted.
What happened?
We're trying to hear. We're doing a roll call for the minutes, but when Kathleen called Mr. Bowen, we didn't hear anything.
I didn't hear Kathleen.
Oh, okay. Roll call for the minutes, to approve the minutes.
Nope.
Mr. Bowen, can you hear me now?
Now I hear you.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So, okay, thank you.
What a disjointed, oh boy.
Mr. Dermody.
I have to abstain.
Mr. Essikoff.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
Mr. Trammell.
Yes.
Mr. Vroman. He is absent. Okay, minutes passed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We come to correspondence. We have a letter dated June 1st, 2020 from Roberts Engineering regarding improvements to Farm Lane and School Lane. And we have a letter from the same day, June 1st, from Roberts Engineering regarding improvements to Homestead Lane, Cedar Court, and Elm Court, which I'm sure the content of the letters will come up later on during the reports. So we come to ordinances. Second reading and public hearing for Bond Ordinance 20-05. A bond ordinance providing for various roadway improvements to Farm Lane and School Lane, appropriating $725,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $160,000 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. This is providing for various roadway improvements to Farm and School Lane, including but not limited to milling and paving, as well as curb and sidewalk replacement as necessary. So I'm going to open the public hearing at 7:19. Is there anyone who, from the public, who would like to discuss the bond ordinance 20-05?
Move to close.
Okay, I'm going to close the hearing at 7:19. Roll call. Oh, and discussion at the table? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Roman is absent. So the bond was adopted.
Right. Bond ordinance 20-05. Bond ordinance providing for various water sewer improvements, appropriating $730,000 therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $695,200 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. This is providing for various water sewer improvements within the borough, including the replacement of existing water mains along School Lane and Farm Lane, and the televising and inspection of sewer mains along School Lane and Farm Lane. I'm going to open the public hearing at 7:20. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on bond ordinance 20-06?
Move the question.
Okay. Okay, being none, we'll close the hearing at 7:20. Discussion at the table?
I have one point there. We have provided for monies to televise the sewer lines on Farm and School Lane. So that money, I understand, will be reimbursed to us from this bond.
All right, anyone else? Okay, roll call. Oh, right.
Motion to close the hearing.
Motion to adopt. Can I have a motion, a first?
We have.
I'll move to adopt.
All right, I think Mr. Esikoff was first. Mike, you second?
I'll second.
All right, roll call. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right. Bond ordinance 20-06 adopted. First reading and introduction of ordinance 20-08. An ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt amending the Borough Code to include new chapter 19 tree protection to regulate the removal of trees from all lands within the borough. And this is to preserve trees and woodlands throughout the historic Borough of Roosevelt and to restrict the removal of trees, thereby maintaining the beauty and character of the borough, preventing erosion, and restricting any action that could create a hazard to persons or properties. The public hearing, let's say that until I do open it, right?
This one. Right. Motion to adopt the first reading. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to adopt the first reading.
I'll second.
Second by Lynn. Discussion? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Public hearing will be held on June 22nd, 2020 at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt. Resolutions. Resolution 20-65, payment of bills for June 8th, 2020.
I will move to pay the bills.
Good. Second?
I'll second it.
Discussion? Okay. Roll call?
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. 20-65 passes. Resolution 20-66. Resolution approving change order for road replacement and water main replacement project on Homestead Lane, Elm Court, and Cedar Court. This has to do with problems that Earl ran into as a result of some miscalculations by Public Service Electric and Gas. I think everyone's aware that a gas line was mismarked by quite a bit, 44 feet. And so obviously Roberts Engineering had to reconfigure the work on Homestead Lane. Does anyone have anything they want to add to that?
Yes.
Let me just say something there. I understand. I was there when the fire department showed up and everything, because gas lines are pretty serious things. And it cost through the change order, I believe, along the lines of $12,000 because of that delay. Okay, so that change order, I'm wondering if we can talk to not JCP&L, but PSG&E about that, because it was their markings that was off, not our markings.
That's been done, Joe. Anna has already contacted public service. And so it just has to go through the chain of command there. We're waiting to hear. Anna contacted them sometime last week. And she wasn't really able to talk to a specific person. So it just went into the queue and we're waiting to hear.
Mayor, I could update that. So today, Anna forwarded me the contact for PSC&G, Frank Lucchese. And I emailed him, and I am waiting for him to send me a claim form for us to make a claim for our $12,000.
And this is Mr. Cannon talking now?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay.
We have an email to that extent in your box, in the borough email.
I copied everybody?
You copied me.
I usually copy everybody. But yep. If I didn't, that's what's going on. If you have it, it's in your box.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. Okay. Roll call?
By the way, and was that the one? Oh, no, that's something else. Go ahead. No, I think Anna also. No, this is something. Another issue. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Okay, this is roll call. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Wait a second. I'm sorry. I'm going to step back. I'm getting a little confused. I needed a first and a second. Can I have a motion to adopt?
You do.
Lou, and who's second?
I'll second. Joe.
Joe? Okay. And now roll call. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Report on submitted.
Mr. Hagman? Councilmember Bellwood?
Not a lot to report, just taking care of some downed tree. Greg's also going to start painting the rest of the garage that he had started last year. And Greg Basile, we ordered some signs for the triangle on Pine and Tamara, or has to do with the animal waste issues. That's about it.
Animal release issues.
Oh, okay. I understand that one.
That's all from me.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Councilmember Esikoff, administration.
Yeah, just one issue. I spoke with Anna this afternoon, and committee chairman, please come in and sign your vouchers. She wants to get rid of them. Call her up and tell her you're coming, so she knows she'll expect you. And your vouchers will be on the table with a pen, and you sign them and give them. Just leave them there, and she'll pick them up.
Thank you.
Beyond that, I don't have any more.
Okay. Councilmember Dermody, community development, code enforcement.
Yeah, I have nothing urgent to share tonight.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hamilton, finance.
Okay, you may hear a lot of birds tweeting in the background, but please excuse, I'm outside because of the tree ordinance. Under finance, we just have a few things, and they're probably noted on the agenda. Our 99-year term lease for the FDR Memorial has been redrawn by the borough attorney, and that's ready to go and get signed over. And I guess it'll go to the mayor and to the Board of Ed for signing, so that we can have a 99-year term lease at $1 per year. It's a good bargain. We had storm damage, and I think maybe Joe will cover this, on June 3rd from that windstorm that came through. And it caused a power surge, and I know a lot of us lost power, but we also had some problems at the sewer treatment plant. There was about $4,500 in damage there. And so I did contact... Is somebody talking? I can't hear. I contacted Anna, and also I believe the borough attorney, and to see if we can put in a GIF claim for that damage to the joint insurance fund, see if we could be reimbursed for it. We have a $2,500 deductible with GIF, but still we might be able to reclaim some of that loss. And I know Councilman Esikoff requested an explanation as to why the generator failed during that outage, and that was forwarded to our generator company, Power Equipment. They performed maintenance on that generator on April 16th, and so the question is, you know, why did the generator fail during that power outage? We already covered the incorrect gas markout that was done by P&G that cost us $12,829.67 in the form of a change order for that ongoing Homestead Lane project. The borough attorney is aware of that, and we're going to see if we can possibly reclaim some of that too. I don't think there's anything else really to cover that's pertinent to tonight's agenda. So, end of report.
Thank you. Councilmember Trammell, utilities.
How you doing there? I'm not sure if it was the third mic or if it was the fourth when that storm blew through. But the generator apparently started and then it stopped. And don't know if it was because of that or because of the storm itself. It blew out a few coils on the contactors, about a dozen coils on the motor control units in the shack there. So Mike and his guys, Mike Lyon came down and his folks, and they were there past midnight trying to sort it out. And they got it running, basically, ordered new parts. That was $2,000-$3,000. And then the next day they came and put those parts in. So thus your labor comes to about $4,500. I am curious, too, about the generator. But let me say this. In the past, we didn't have a crew that would go in and go directly to find problem. We would have probably had a lot of outside companies come in to try to rectify the situation. So I think $4,500, I think it was about, was an exceptional price to get this fixed. And I am really curious about why the generator didn't kick in. And I do know that there were a lot of snakes in the generator at the time. When the guy got here, he opened it up, and I think a whole family of snakes moved out there. So we have critter problems in the generators, is one of the things. And
there must be a way to eliminate that.
It's a nice, quiet place to hang out until the generator starts, and then you crawl away, I guess, or slither away. But yeah, there were snakes there. That's second or third time we've had snakes in that particular generator. So
we have problems in generators with that because there's heating elements in the generators, and I think rodents and snakes need to warm up sometimes so they can win for the warmth.
Yeah, they're cold-blooded animals.
There must be a way to screen out those generators and protect them, I think.
I would think so. I would think we can put some kind of a screening that doesn't impair the airflow for the generators, but doesn't allow the vermin to get in there. This is getting, this is not a joke. This is real stuff we're talking about.
That's it. Yeah. Okay, so maybe Public Works can, get a handle on that with some screening or something.
Yeah, actually, I thought
that's how it feels about
done something like that to one of the generators not too long ago, that he had put up some screening for the same reason. So,
The Pearl Hall generator had a mice, rat, critter problem, too, and they chewed through the wires and made a mess out of that one, so that had to get rid. So just keeping animals out of the generators is what we need to consider these days.
That's right.
All right.
Mm-hmm. It's hard in a town full of wildlife.
Well, they got plenty of room. Generators are small. Okay.
True.
That's it for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, report of borough officials. Mike, are you on here, Tipton? Do you have anything?
Can't hear you, Mike.
Yeah, I'm unmuted. Thank you. Yes, I just wanted to raise one point. It's now about 3 months since the council postponed action on the bamboo ordinance. And at the time, the point was that the council was going to wait until this emergency had abated. We went back to normal meetings and more people would participate. But this seems to be the new normal. And you're proposing and adopting other ordinances now, so I would just ask that you schedule this ordinance as well so that you can have discussion of it, and if you want to adopt it, adopt it. If you don't, listen to whatever people have to say and do it.
Well, Mike, some of the reason that we held off was because some of the residents were concerned about the economic impact on having to spend money to remove the bamboo, and so that's why we thought we would put it off until things went a little more back to normal, and maybe people who aren't working will return to work. A large part of that was the economic impact of removing bamboo. So my suggestion is we wait a little longer. We've waited this long and had the bamboo here for years and years, and at least until to see how, you know, how much things return to normal and people are back to work.
Well, I mean, what is your point? Do you want to, yep, if it'll die if you don't take an action before the end of the year. Do you intend to take action before the end of the year, one way or the other? To at least get,
I guess we're just waiting to see. I know people wanted to come and speak about it, but they're also just waiting to see when we will be released from the lockdown and return to work.
So any other council members have any thoughts on the subject?
Well, we have seven months yet to go, 6 months to go. I would agree with Peggy. But we'll hold up. Maybe we can hold up until September or October, and if things let up, we'll. I'm for moving on it also.
Okay, thank you.
And hopefully we can get it done by the end of the year. Not sooner.
Okay, thank you.
But listen, keep it in mind so we can do it. Michael?
Yeah.
Are you there? Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Old business? Does anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss? All right. Being none, we will go to new business. On the agenda, it says cleaning and televising signs of school lanes, but we've actually already covered that.
Okay,
just because it was the letter.
I don't hear.
Who's talking?
I put that on the agenda in case anybody wanted to discuss their findings. After they advertised, after they televised Farm Lane and School Lane?
I have not seen the report personally.
It's a letter that Carmella?
Yeah, I haven't seen, I've read the letter from the borough engineer, and it seems to indicate that there's a few sections of sewer line that she is recommending that we repair as part of that project. But the whole thing doesn't need to be repaired. I think it was a couple manholes and two sections of the line were cracked. They were cracked. I think there were. I'm trying to look up my notes.
Cracked, leaking joints, and sags.
Yeah, it sounds like how you get when you're getting older.
Yeah.
Well, they are.
Cracks, sticking joints, and sags we have to repair. So that's increasing that the cost a little bit with that, but we don't have to do the whole thing replacing the sewer lines.
Yeah. Most of the bonds are PVC already, so there's just a few sections, I suppose. Yeah.
Okay. I'll open the floor to public comment on any item at 7:43 p.m. Anyone from the public who would like to, I'd like to say come to the mic, but have anything to say?
Yes. Am I unmuted?
No, you're
No, we hear you, Carol.
Okay,
okay,
all right.
Carol, please state your name and address, please.
I'm right there. So this is Carol Watchler. I'm at 2 Elm Court. So there's two concerns that I would like to address. One of them arose when I received the information in my mail that there had not been a contribution from the Roosevelt Borough of Roosevelt to the Roosevelt First Aid Squad. I would simply like to say that I strongly believe and strongly urge that that contribution be made. I know there may be some technical difficulties around that right at the moment in terms of there being this organization being a 501c3. I was treasurer of the First Aid Squad for a number of years, around 2010, 2 years before and after that. And I was always aware that we did receive that. If something has been brought up, I hope that can be resolved and that the monies be forwarded to the First Aid Squad for this year, and that it can be included in the budget for next year. So that's one item that I wanted to speak to. The other item is that I strongly believe that we in Roosevelt, a town always described as one of artisan social activists, as we see social activism rising in so many places across the country, on the head of just devastating killing of Black persons, oftentimes by police, that we join in a voice by having a council resolution to affirm that we understand that racism is a social and health crisis in this country, and that it is up to all of us, persons who are not members of the Black community, to take the lead and make sure that racism comes to an end. There are a lot of very strong things that we can do, and I know that this can't happen tonight, but I have a resolution that was prepared by passed, I believe, by the Princeton Council. I also have a statement from a town in South Jersey's Council of Churches. Both of them, I think, give some valuable insights as to how we can direct our strong voice and our strong words to ensure that we, the people of Roosevelt, know that we stand against the racism that is such a festering illness and devastating reality that we can make a difference in. So I urge that we create that resolution and pass it at the soon as possible moment.
Good idea.
Okay, well, Carol, if you want to send us a template, I think that I'm going to go on record as saying, and I think everyone who lives here knows this, that Roosevelt is one of the most tolerant, accepting, diverse towns, especially for a little tiny town. We have quite a cross-section of every color and ethnicity and lifestyle, alternative lifestyle. I think people know when they move to Roosevelt, they're going to be accepted no matter who they are. So we have a really good record, which I suppose we're aware of, but you know, maybe not other towns are. So if you want to send us a template, we'll be glad to.
I'd like to see that myself, Carol. As a man of color, I have been for the past month or so recommending that people Google before you call the cops. I saw the 2-minute short video on Jimmy Kimmel, I think it was, one night, and it is, again, before you call the cops. I've sent it to a lot of people and everything. It will give you an informative perspective, an educational perspective of what it's like to be in a dark person's body. So,
Jeff,
yeah, Carol.
That was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I saw that.
I've sent it to everybody. I've gotten reactions like across the large Black men that I know. One of them sent me a picture of him reading a book that says "How to Be Black." Okay, so that 2-minute video gives everybody an impression of what it's like to be that way. So it's something that everybody should be concerned with. And cha cha cha. So, yeah, before you call the cops, it's a 2-minute piece. It's worth it. So, there you go.
So, if I may just add, I would be happy to work with anybody to sort of integrate some of the ideas in both of these and possibly other resolutions, or to look and see whether this is exactly the way we want to proceed in Roosevelt. Would that be something I could do with anybody interested?
Also, Tim and Rainey Hartley, I'm not speaking for them, but I got a little involved with them. They're involved with the Lynching Project, which is a museum outside of, in Alabama somewhere, I forget the town. But they're collecting dirt from all the lynchings around the United States and taking the dirt down to the museum there. and they're putting plaques up. And here in New Jersey, we have had in the past the lynching in Eatontown. And so Tim and Rainey are very into this project, and I'm involved myself. And it's through the folks in Princeton and all around New Jersey. So I recommend you speak with them, and they'll put you on the mailing list or the email list for this project. And this was
they've been working on that for about a year now.
Say again?
Tim and Rainey have been working on it for about a year.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay. And
get these
for them.
Samples of ones to the council and the mayor.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. Right. Anyone else in the public would like to say anything?
Mary.
Mary needs to be unmuted.
Okay. Like Carol, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, good.
Okay. Well, like Carol, I would like to guess.
Yeah. You have to identify yourself.
Sorry. Mary Tellis, 21 Lake Drive. Like Carol, I would like to understand what's going on with the funding to the first aid squad. I was rather surprised and upset to see that money had been budgeted in 2018 and probably succeeding years, and I guess it was used for some other purpose. It didn't go to the first aid squad. Could you tell me what happened there?
Yes, it wasn't used for any other purpose, Tim. We actually prepared for response. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. We prepared a response to the flyer that went out. We corrected some misinformation that's contained in there and tried to explain the reasoning behind the, you know, not giving of a donation in 2019. That will be going out in your mailbox this week. So what I would recommend is read the flyer, and then at the next meeting, any questions you have or concerns or comments, you can address them to us. But I would really like the residents to read the borough's response.
Could you give me a little synopsis? A little synopsis of what it is, just briefly?
Sure. Okay, there were certain criteria that the borough needed from the first aid squad. We needed to know about their financials. We wanted to know number of calls that they went on, all kinds of information that the first aid squad refused to provide for us. Now, as everyone knows, I believe they know that the first aid squad is not part of the borough. Right. They're an independent organization. Mm-hmm. We donate the bays, and we have traditionally donated money each year, but they do not belong to the borough.
Right.
However, to be fiscally responsible, we do need to oversee where our money goes in the borough, and we wanted to look at the financials of the first aid squad. But the first aid squad was extremely reluctant. They refused to meet with us or provide any information.
Had you received that information in all prior years and then it stopped?
No, we hadn't asked for it in prior years. We had asked and they didn't want to provide it, and we didn't push the subject. But I met with the county several times last year, and our first aid squad is basically down to two people answering calls. That's it. It's a two-person squad. There are a couple other people who occasionally can fill in. So statistically, the Roosevelt First Aid Squad, unfortunately, due to diminished volunteerism, only answers 6% of their daytime calls and less than half of their overall calls, you know, night and day. The council was receiving many, many complaints and expressions of concern from residents who had called 911 and were waiting for up to 45 minutes for an ambulance. And so based on that, we knew we had to take some immediate action. And we met with Millstone, with the fire department,
And that's when we entered into a no-cost agreement. They're not charging Roosevelt anything. And they're toned out. They received the 911 call simultaneously with Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. If Roosevelt can't respond, a Millstone firefighter will be here, usually within about 3 minutes or so, and can provide basic life-saving, basic life-saving methods for whoever makes the 911 call. They can't transport, but they can perform all the EMT duties and wait with the person or the patient until an ambulance arrives. That is a stopgap measure, but it is working beautifully. We've had Millstone Fire Department's been here many times on our 911 calls.
What about does the Millstone ambulance come here as well, or is it just the fire department that comes here?
The Millstone Fire Department comes in a fire truck to provide emergency services until an ambulance can get here. Certified EMT will provide basic life-saving until an ambulance from another community can arrive in Roosevelt.
Not Millstone, then. They will provide assistance until either Roosevelt comes or another outlying community comes?
No. They're toned out simultaneously with Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. So they jump in their truck ready to come, but if they get the call from Roosevelt that they have it, Roosevelt can respond, then they'll back off. But if not, they're already on their way. And so
an ambulance could be on its way, or just the fire truck? That's what I don't understand about Millstone.
Just the fire truck. They're not allowed for insurance purposes. They cannot transport. However,
I thought in a prior meeting, weren't we talking about the Capital Health or whatever that other ambulance is over there coming out here?
I've explored all of those options. Some of them, Capital Health didn't seem optimum because it's going to take them quite a bit of time to come here, and it's extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. The same thing with Robert Wood Johnson. Right now I'm working on something that hopefully will be able to be utilized by the end of the year, where we will have 24/7 an ambulance coming into Roosevelt, as soon as they receive the call. But for now, we have Millstone Fire Department coming, and they are certified EMTs. As I said, our own squad, unfortunately, due to only having a couple of people, were not able to answer the calls, and people were coming to council meetings extremely upset.
I was there. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So
there weren't a lot of complaints,
Mary, the final thing is that we were able to uncover the first aid squad's financials because it is public record. And the first aid squad, probably due to the fact that they don't go on many calls, the first aid squad has accrued quite a bit of money in their account. For the last few years, they were only spending $2,000 of our $20,000 donation, and they do have approximately over $70,000 in their account. So we realized that they don't actually need our donation. It's not crucial at this point, and better for us to hold that money so that whatever solution we come up with providing 24/7 responders, we have that money in case we need to spend it either on a private ambulance service or shared services with another town. But we knew that they were in good financial shape, and we may need it when we have a finality to who will be providing our first aid services.
Well, I was concerned when I read the letter, and when we are in a pandemic, to not be supporting our local first aid squad is very concerning. If I can't breathe, I would like somebody from the Roosevelt First Aid Squad to come here and help me.
Well, they will.
I know.
What if they don't respond? What do you do then?
They get the call first. Mary, they get the call.
I'm just saying.
They get the call.
Yeah.
They get the call with Millstone. So if someone can't breathe and Roosevelt can't respond, Millstone will be here with 3 minutes or so, three or 4 minutes. And The Roosevelt First Aid Squad does have quite a bit of money in their bank account.
Mm-hmm.
So we're only holding on to that money because it's basically a two-person squad
mm-hmm.
who cannot answer. They answer the calls less than half the time. As a matter of fact, there was a call this weekend, and it was not – Roosevelt couldn't respond to it. Millstone came. So – and we're not worried about them with finances because they do have quite a bit of money, but they don't have many squad members. They're down to a bare two people. And so we're actively looking into, an ideal solution.
Okay. Well, just one other thing I wanted to say. I know at some of those previous meetings there was about the first aid, there was a discussion about this is a problem that many small towns are facing, having enough volunteers. And we were going to be looking into a county-wide dispatch.
Yeah.
I'm kind of concerned about that. During the time of COVID, I signed up for information releases from Monmouth County, Mercer County. During this whole time, since March, I've had one email from Monmouth County with pretty skimpy information. Mercer County, I get an email every day and it's very informative. I found out I had examination gloves. I could take those and donate them when they were really in trouble and needing supplies of any kind. Small businesses, they have information about that. I know where to get testing in Mercer County. Monmouth County never told me anything about it. So I'm, be careful about what Monmouth County says it's going to do, because I am not impressed.
I just wanted to say that we
live in. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that. It's the county we live in.
Look for something else. Look for another community or collaboration of communities.
Monmouth County is taking their cue from the three counties presently in New Jersey that have gone countywide for first aid services. And I know that's who they want to emulate and use for guidance. It's all in the, strategy stage. But I don't know why you're not getting anything, though, Mary, because as a town, we're hearing from Monmouth County multiple times a day. That's how I knew there were seven cases now in Roosevelt.
Yeah. As a county. Yeah, as a community member, I can go to, there's one place, and all it does is list the towns with a number. But
Mary, we're going to see if we can link the borough website with Monmouth County COVID information. I know that, I think council members get emails a lot, emails with statistics and links for help and resources and that kind of thing. But I think we could probably get it on the borough website, and then people can click on it and get updates on a daily basis if you want it. I know we get that information, at least I know I do. I think it would be good to have that.
Yeah, I think so too. Right. Yeah. Well, and the fact that we're at the extreme end of Monmouth County, if we're waiting for some dispatch from the center or somewhere.
I'm sorry, Mary.
The extreme western part of Monmouth County. We should take that into account also. How quickly are people going to get there?
Can anyone hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you, John.
Oh, okay. I don't know what happened to my computer, but I just want to say
that... John, you have to wait until Mary finishes, and then you have to come in and identify yourself. So can we let Mary finish?
Okay, I'm done.
Oh, you're done? Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Mary.
As I said, you will be getting a flyer this week.
And yes, sir. I can talk now?
We'll go into
more detail. All right, so it's going to be John Bowe, 19 Farmland, Captain First Aid Squad. So basically, I don't know.
John, can you identify yourself and your address?
Yeah, John Bowe, 19 Farmland.
Okay.
So basically, we have more than two members. We have about 6 to 8 members. And here's what's happening. During the day, people work, so they, we have a system where if the Roosevelt ambulance cannot get to you, then Millstone ambulance will get to you. And if Millstone ambulance cannot get to you, the Allentown ambulance will get to you. But during the night, we're fully staffed. As a matter of fact, last night we answered some calls and we assisted Millstone in some calls. And like I said, you know, we're doing our best. You know, if you guys complain, you guys are welcome to join the squad. Also, regarding the money, I heard Peg was saying that we have money in the bank. Well, the reason we don't spend money because, well, we're not getting the money, so we can't say, you know, for example, right now people are not working, so they're not going to be spending money. So the same with us. If we're not getting the money from the council, then we're not going to spend the money. We want to buy those electric chair, you know, the electric stretcher. Those are like $35,000 a pop. So now we have two ambulances. 35,000 times two, 70,000. How much money we have in the bank? 70,000. So, but we don't want to spend that because we don't know what's going on. An ambulance could break down. An AED could break down. That's like $2,000, you know. The other day we went to one of our former members' house and, you know, we did CPR on her and then we had to use the pad. That cost a few hundred dollars. So I'm just saying, you know, we have, you know, we have a plan in place that if we can't respond, then we make sure that Millstone will respond. If Millstone can't respond, Allentown will respond. If Allentown can't respond, Manalapan will respond. And this is all over the state. It's not just Roosevelt. All over the state, believe it or not, people have jobs during the day and they can't go. And you know, but at night, if the thing comes up, and I'm sure the resident is happy to see a fellow, you know, Roosevelt person to come and not somebody, some stranger. And by the way, believe it or not, we're still not charging, you know, we're not charging people insurance and going after the copay and all that stuff. But, you know, it is what it is, you know. So that's all I got to say.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Does anyone else in the public have anything they'd like to say?
One more thing.
Mike?
Yeah. You mentioned about...
Identify yourself.
Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. You had mentioned about this problem on Homestead Lane with the PSE&G giving wrong information as to the location of the line and the borough incurring $1,250 if additional cost for that. If they made a mistake, can't they be required to pay it? And if they won't pay it, you know, go to the BPU or do whatever is necessary to collect it from them?
The borough let me just correct you, Mike. It's $12,500.
$12,000. Yeah, very good. Well, all the more to the point, yes, that this should be
well,
paid.
Well, as I said, Anna began the process.
I'm sorry?
Anna began the process of requesting reimbursement. Greg may know more than I do about how that works, but Anna definitely
the
began.
The representative for PSE&G forwarded our claim to the department. They're supposed to reach out and contact me about getting our money back.
Okay. Well, so
compensating us for our change order.
Okay, so we're trying to recover it from them. Good. Okay.
Right. Does anyone else in the public want to speak? Okay, being none, we'll close public portion at 8:07. Counselor, do we have a new session?
No, I emailed you a litigation update.
Is that no?
Yeah, none. It said none.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
No, no.
No?
Yep. Motion.
Second.
I'll second.
Joe. Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Meeting is adjourned at 8:08. Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Right.